100% paradigm shift, and I 100% agree, man. It was a 180 paradigm shift on this, and because when I came in the military, it was direct pressure and pressure points and elevation and all this bullshit, and you know, our tourniquet's a last resort. Because when you put that tourniquet on, they're going to lose that limb. And I didn't ask because I had medical people teaching me this.
Right, yeah.
You know, it was institutional inertia. You know where that bullshit came from? Civil War.
Yeah.
Literally, because they used tourniquets on the battlefield. That's where we kind of started the mass casualty triage protocols. And they would put a tourniquet on to stop a life-threatening hemorrhage. But then it might be 18, 24 hours before they ever received care. And what was the cure then? Because it was all gangrenous.
Saw that shit off.
Yeah, chop it off, man. So that's where a lot of that bullshit came from, because they found tourniquets, battlefield tourniquets, from the ancient Greeks and ancient Romans.
All right, thanks for joining us today on the Big Techs Podcast. We've got our buddy Kerry Davis from Dark Angel Medical. He's drove down. He's actually conducting a class this weekend. And if you're listening to this on down the road, this weekend means August 20th and 21st. So don't hit me up trying to get into this class. But he's come down to Conroe, Texas. Been on the road all day yesterday. He's going to be teaching a pretty good, actually a sold out class.
Yeah,
right?
Sold out class, man. Pretty happy about that.
Super excited about to be able to bring you in and get our employees, for one, and our local populace some of the best medical training that's out there. Today in the studio, we've got Ike and Ian joining us. Say hi to those listening.
Hello.
Hi, listening people.
There we go. But we like to have fun on the Big Techs Podcast, and we like to get to know the person that we're talking to. Because, I mean, I've talked to you half a dozen times probably over the last few years.
Yeah.
You know Ike, you know Ian. We run into you every year at symposium, if not before, when we're running around. So for those of us that are those of our listeners that don't know you, let everybody know where you came from. How you got into this. I think you were in the military for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let the audience know who Kerry Davis is.
I'm a sick individual. I've been in the medical field for 30 years. I'll do something to your mind a little bit, that's for sure. I was born and raised in Mississippi, born in Natchez, raised around a little town called Hattiesburg, and around Hattiesburg. After high school, went to college for a little bit, and then went into the military, went Air Force as a medic, and started I was in pre-med in college, and I wanted to be a doctor, and I was like, I wanted to do medical stuff, and I wanted to do more because I was in the emergency room, and I said, I want to do a little bit more, so I volunteered for a special duty assignment up to what was then Pope Air Force Base. Now it's Pope Army Airfield at Fort Bragg, because basically we were just like a tenant base, you know, inside Fort Bragg, doing all the air support for all the airborne guys and everything like that. And while I was up there, they trained us up to be more specially trained as far as medicine goes, trauma medicine. And we worked with a lot of the Army units. So I got to go on to airborne school. I was like the fifth guy in my career field in Air Force to ever go through jump school, which was kind of cool.
Nice.
And had a good time doing that. Got deployed all over the world. We were gone like 200 days a year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So if the 82nd went somewhere, there we went also. So we deployed a lot. And then that ops tempo got a little bit rough. And I said, well, I think I'll do something else. So I'd always enjoyed teaching. And so I went and got assigned to officer training school at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama. And I was working down there as a paramedic. Decided, you know, I think I'm going to separate from the active Air Force. And I separated from the active Air Force in 2001, right before everything kicked off. But I stayed in reserves. So I still got to be involved. And then I was going to nursing school at the same time. So I got my nursing degree and started working directly in critical care and emergency stuff, emergency department, emergency room, whatever you want to call it, and did that for years. And I was like, man, people need to know this stuff. And that was kind of the big impetus. This is what was a catalyst to push me to do this stuff was I had a lot of buddies, you know, working night shift in the ER. They were like, hey, you know, what do you do for this or what do you do for that? And I'm like, don't y'all get any kind of medical training? You know, since y'all are like typically the first one on scene, they're like going, well, this is our version of CPR, you know, like with a foot and then, you know, and they're like, we don't touch them. We don't know what to do. And so I said, well, how about if I could probably write up some curriculum. So I started working on that in 2006. Then I started working with Magpul because I'd moved to Colorado in the meantime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. And Magpul was literally right down the road. And so I started working with them. And then I got picked up at SIG in 2011. So that was like 2008, 2009, I started working with Magpul. And in 2011, I started this company around the same time. And my big thing was not only having products, because there's a lot of medical kit companies out there. I said, but I want to be like the complete service provider. You know, not only do I sell you a good product, but I can also teach you how to use it and other products too. And I always say I empower people with knowledge. That's our goal, is to empower people with knowledge, because the worst thing in the world is sitting there watching somebody that's injured and not knowing what to do. That's horrible. You know, standing like my daddy used to say, like a mule stared at a fresh hung gate, you know, and it is, you know, people are like, oh man, it's a 16 hour course. I'm like, but regret's going to last for the rest of your life. And if you could do something to help somebody, then, you know, honestly, why the heck wouldn't you?
Right.
You know, I mean, this is simple. This is easy. And I think that's a lot of things people come to medical training thinking, oh man, this is going to be some sort of freaking rocket surgery or something. And it's not. No, you've been through my class, man.
Yeah, it's super simple. It's stuff you can apply, like take the class and immediately go apply it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you needed to.
And people have. I was down in Scottsdale a few years back at the Scottsdale Gun Club, and this guy, he texted me after class, and he's like, dude, I was literally 30 minutes outside of Scottsdale, and there was a wreck that happened. The car rolled over on its roof.
Shit.
And yeah. And he was like, I literally did the whole assessment that we had just done in class. So he said, at least it was fresh.
Yeah, right.
You know, at least it was fresh. But it's just, I can't overemphasize for people to learn this kind of stuff, man. I don't care who you are, whatever background you got, you know, Joe construction worker, Susie soccer mom, whatever the hell it is you do, it's relevant. I mean, this is not just something for a square range. This is not something that only tactical people do or anything like that. That's one of the things that kind of hacks me off, is people think, oh, you know, it's just for tactical. Oh, this is a tactical medicine. No, it's not. This is we call it everyday trauma care.
Yeah.
You know, because it's home is like the most dangerous place in the world. And how much time do we spend at home?
A lot. You
know? I mean, and dude, hell, I mean, driving down here. Holy sweet baby Jesus, man. I mean, it was, I was like, everybody wants to be Ricky Bobby around here. You know, I want to go fast.
That was the biggest culture shock, I think, when I moved here, was like the driving.
Oh.
Like 45, it's like Mad Max. There's no rules and you just drive.
It's like super aggressive.
Yeah.
And people driving like dingleberries, you know, there's going to be a traffic accident. You're going to see it. And I think it's so freaking relevant, you know, because how long is it going to take EMS to get there? So that's kind of what drove me to do this. And I love doing this. I think there's something that was, you know, pursue your passion. You know, as I was listening to a podcast the other day, and this guy's like, you know, if you pursue your passion, then it's easy, because there's a lot of people out there that literally hate what they do. And I feel sorry for them. You know, I really do, because I've been able to parlay this into something that helps me make a living, and it helps me keep people living, you know, because there's nothing better than help making a living, keeping people living. That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a freaking nerd anyway. So I love seeing the light bulb, you know, pop off when people are in class. So it kind of, I don't know, kind of jazzes me up a little bit.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, they say if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, you know, like. It's like kind of working at Big Tech's.
No,
right? Like, I love what I do. My wife's like, are you going in today? Hell yeah, I'm going in today. Kids are back in school. I'm going to work later.
I get to hang out with people I enjoy hanging out with, and I provide a good service and have a good time doing it. So yeah, y'all are lucky too. And it is. I mean, there is work involved. I mean, like, you know, driving down 14 hours. Oh, that's work, man. I don't care who you are, but it's. You got to look at the end game. You got to look at the payoff is people are getting knowledge, man. you know, that previously wouldn't have had the knowledge. I mean, like you signed up a bunch of folks from the Shopee, and then it's like, because you're like, man, we're you know, firearms testing. We're on the range with people. What if somebody's in the shop? Somebody ends up.
Yeah. I mean, even at the warehouse. I mean, you know,
we've had small injuries, nothing major.
Yeah.
I mean,
you never know.
It's an occupational hazard. And the more those of us in the firearms industry, when we're around them, it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. You know, and, you know, it's something that I think people need to be very cognizant of. People at home, you know, they slip and fall and put their hand through a plate glass window or something like that, rips their radial artery open. I've seen it. One of my football coaches in high school damn near bled out like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was trying to get in. He was knocking on the door, and his hand went through the freaking plate pane glass, and he pulled it back real quick, ripped his freaking artery. He damn near bled out right there on his front porch.
NAR, I think, shared a photo on their Instagram the other night of a dude who had sliced his wrist when he was washing dishes.
Yeah.
And the blood drill. I mean, like,
absolutely.
There was just blood everywhere. And that's just washing dishes, you know, at home.
And people don't think, well, I'm home. This is my safe haven.
This is your bubble.
I mean, does anybody have stairs in your house? You know, if so, you miss that last stair. It's a Lulu, man.
With kids and dogs.
Yeah.
There's a coffee stain on the wall of our townhouse from where I literally flew sideways with a cup of coffee because I stepped on a toy and I was like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
I
had to do some sheetrock repair at my old house up in near Boulder when I lived up there because I tripped, come down the stairs and put my forehead into the sheetrock, and there was like a big head-shaped divot in the sheetrock, you know.
Good thing there wasn't a stud there.
Thank God. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it had been a lot worse, but home is dangerous. And, you know, and if you have cats are always trying to kill you.
Yeah.
So, that's, I mean, for sure. That's a fact.
Or kids, you know.
Yeah. Or kids, you know.
Legos.
Skateboards.
Or like my dog. He'll sit right behind you if you're up doing whatever. My wife was at the sink the other day. She was putting up a picture. And she had the stepladder there. And she didn't look down. And Ranger, 110-pound German Shepherd, comes and plops himself at the base of the ladder. You know, and the step stool, and she's coming down. She's like going backwards. And I was like, it happens, man.
Oh, yeah.
Freak accidents happen all the time.
Of all the, I mean, they, you know, there's all the stats for like gun use and, you know, that type of stuff that shows that it's not as rare as we think it is. But there's very rarely you go through, you know, a couple weeks where you don't drive by a wreck.
Absolutely.
That somebody might need help or, you know, like you said, at home injury. So first aid is definitely up there in the, should be top of the tier, whether you're carrying or you're not.
I say that all the time. Even if you don't carry, you need medical training because they did a study, the Hartford Consensus, I think it was when they were doing the Stop the Bleed campaign stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they estimated that like 33,000 Americans a year die from hemorrhage that could have been treated. Now there's like another 30,000 more that, you know, you can't treat if it's in this box, you know, you can't tourniquet that off.
Yeah.
But
what are some things you can't tourniquet?
The taint. You cannot tourniquet, but you can pack it. You can't tourniquet the taint, but you can pack it. Yeah. I knew exactly where you're going with that. The gooch, the grundle, the taint, whatever you want to call it, the nether regions. But yeah, it's the thing, man, is that people don't realize, they're like, when you give them those numbers, you're like, this is not a number I'm just pulling out of my butt, man. This is like a real deal number. They did studies on this. People way more educated than me. I'm like, that's scary. You know, 33,000 people a year. We don't have that many firearms deaths. And if you look at the majority of firearms deaths, they're suicides. You know, so, I mean, looking at the numbers, I was like, it's way more dangerous just everyday life.
Yeah.
Everyday life is way more dangerous.
Do you know how effective the Stop the Bleed campaign has been since they've started that? How many people went through?
Man, you know, I wish I had looked at that before we came on the podcast. I don't know how effective theirs has been. I know since we've been doing this, I've gotten reports of over 155 people just from our program, but I can't imagine, you know, Stop the Bleed is a big force multiplier all over the United States. I mean, even if there's 200,000 people and there's a 10% save rate, you know, that's a lot of folks.
So you're seeing AEDs and like stop the bleed kits all over the place now.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that was their goal, was, you know, just like the hands only CPR, you know, is to create a layperson bleeding control program. And that's where the stop the bleed stuff came out. Yeah. So that's why I do like seeing AEDs and bleeding control kits there. So it's super important. I don't know the numbers, but I'll look that up.
I should have asked you that.
That's okay, dude. That's okay.
Prior to the podcast. Yeah.
But you have 150 people.
Over 150 people, yeah. Walking around with another birthday.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
That's gotta be a good feeling, you know. Dude, like, know that you directly contributed to that.
It really is. You know, it's like a redneck from Route 2 Seminary, Mississippi, you know, and I came up with this idea. I was like, I wanna do this to make people's lives better and to know. And I mean, we had a dude that didn't even come to one of our classes. He had just because of his work and everything like that. And so he watched some of the online training videos I have on our website, you know, the free videos, and he bought a kit, and he and his buddy and his girlfriend were out in California up in the mountains four wheeling, or off roading, and the truck rolled and it crushed his buddy's arm, and he had a open fracture, arteries spraying blood everywhere. And he grabbed the kit, tourniquet the guy off. It was like 4 hours before EMS got there. And they're like, bro, he'd have been dead.
Yeah.
You know, so just even that remote learning like that is huge. I mean, the in-person, I love doing in-person, because you get more interpersonal experience, obviously, but with it, there's a way to do it. And it's, you know, knowing that somebody has another birthday. I mean, the very first one we got, I'll never forget this one. You always remember your first one, right? And, it was December of 2012, and this Marine wrote in and he said, my mom got me one of your kits before I deployed to Afghanistan. I thought it was kind of a lame or funny, odd, going away gift until I used it last week to save my best friend's life. How freaking cool was that?
That's legit.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I was like, I still get a little verklempt, you know, talking about that, 'cause I read that and I just started freaking bawling, and I was like, man, if I don't sell another freaking kit the rest of my life.
Yeah, worth it.
Worth it.
Yeah.
One person right there is walking around another birthday because of that. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what keeps me going, man. That's what keeps me going, because I love what I do.
Hi, I'm Chris from Big Tech's
Ordnance, and I'm Ian from Big Tech's
Ordnance. And today we've got the weekly update. So first off, from Voltor is the classic MER upper receivers, right? So we've got them in foliage green, black, standard black. Those are my picks. What do you got over there?
For all the wheel gun enthusiasts out there, we've started carrying some Safariland Comp 3 and Comp 2 speed loaders for J frames and K frames. So if you guys need a good speed loader for all of your revolver needs, we got some. We have the new Streamlight Wedge XT also. These come in black and FDE. Great little task light. You know, drop your keys underneath the couch. You're looking for your burrito. Good little option from Streamlight. Comes with a little lanyard on it as well.
Solid price point on those. I'll have to reference the price point on
USB-C
those.
Rechargeable, and it has a deep carry pocket clip on it.
Yeah, so option.
Looks great.
Coming up, there's a bunch of classes. We've got Paradox training. Gonna be across the street at the range, doing that the 27th, not this weekend, but next weekend. Anyway, lots of training events coming up. We just also posted the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, the Armors
class in May. It's up on the website. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Be safe.
Finger guns. So the classes came before the kit. Correct?
The curriculum did. Yeah, the curriculum did. But I started selling the products, and then we launched our training about 6 months later, because our goal was to not only have the product, but then the kits. I'd already had the curriculum and had the idea for the kits. It took me a long time to get all the, I mean, I almost didn't get insurance, you know, for, because of, oh my God, it's first aid kit.
Yeah.
You know, what sorcery is this? And, you know, and it was, and so that finally came to market. But our goal was to do the training along with the product. So, yeah, but I started writing the curriculum in, like, in 2006, and we constantly update it all the time just because everything changes. Medical, just like, you know, firearms industry, you know.
I mean, how many times have they changed the CPR guidelines in the last 10 years?
100%, man.
Yeah. Back and forth.
Look at military TTPs over the last, you know, 20 years. Because when we went into GWAT, you know, they were like, well, we've done it this way forever. You know, well, we better make some adjustments, you know. So that's kind of a big deal.
If the only thing good that came out of that 20 years.
Yeah.
It's the advancement in tactical medical.
100% paradigm shift. And I 100% agree, man. It was a 180 paradigm shift on this. And because when I came into military, it was, oh, direct pressure and pressure points and elevation and all this bullshit. And, you know, oh, tourniquet's a last resort. Because when you put that tourniquet on, they're going to lose that limb. And I didn't ask because I had medical people teaching me this.
Right, yeah.
You know, it was institutional inertia. You know where that bullshit came from? Civil War.
Yeah,
literally, because they use tourniquets on the battlefield. That's where we kind of started the mass casualty triage protocols. And they would put a tourniquet on to stop a life-threatening hemorrhage. But then it might be 18, 24 hours before they ever receive care. And what was the cure then? Because it was all gangrenous.
Saw that shit off.
Yeah, chop it off, man. So that's where a lot of that bullshit came from, because they found tourniquets, battlefield tourniquets, from the ancient Greeks and ancient Romans. Back in, you know, thousands of years ago, and then we've been using tourniquets in operating rooms, you know, since like the 1800s. That is documented. And so, if anybody's had knee replacement surgery, had a tourniquet. You know, if you've had any kind of extremity surgery,
never watch one of those surgeries on YouTube.
Holy Jesus, dude!
My dad got double knee replacement last couple of years, and I was like, I'm going to see what. That was aggressive.
Bro, it's barbaric.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see an orthopedic surgeon, it looks like a freaking Nebraska linebacker with muck boots on, wheeling in a sterilized Craftsman toolbox. Yeah. You're like, I'm pretty sure shit just got real.
My knee's starting to hurt already.
Dude, if you ever need, don't.
I'm good.
It's fucked.
I mean,
it's bad.
Bone chips. And, yeah. I mean, they break out the big power drills.
Oh, shit.
I mean, like my buddy's wife broke her femur on a base jump that went bad out in Colorado, and they had to put a big nail in her femur, and it's like a big freaking metal rod, and they have to just get a big, like it's like a big masonry bit, you know, it's like a big long, like a and then they just hammer that freaking nail in the freaking portion, in the inner portion of the femur.
Full medieval with it.
Dude, it is. It's barbaric. But yeah, that's the reason I'm like, yeah, we don't have any of that in our kits.
None
of that in our kits.
There's been a drastic change, though. In, you know, I came through basic training in 2000, and, you know, 2000, it was still tourniquet last resort, last resort. You know, 2003, first deployment. All of a sudden, halfway through there, they're like, here, stick this in your pocket. It's a tourniquet. Well, let's put them on.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a whole shift there. 2003, 2004, that started coming in. Then TCCC.
Yeah. I think TCCC started around 2004-ish. Yep. And, you know, that was as a result of all the crap that went down in Somalia, you know, Black Hawk Down. That was kind of like, that started that. They're like, we got to do better, you know. And, but that institutional inertia, how long did it take to stop, because we've been teaching it for years, and all of a sudden, well, we just, because they even were still teaching the tourniquet last thing and combat lifesaver for a few years even after that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean, even in the civilian world, I spent a little over a decade in the fire service, and when I first got in, I mean, it was like you said, tourniquets were a no-go.
Right.
It was like, oh, okay, like, and then, you know, you join the military, and, you know, as the GWAT progressed, you know, all that stuff changed.
There was better data. There was more data. There were actual real studies from trauma medicine guys. And so Department of Transportation manages all the curriculum for National Registry of EMTs, paramedics, things like that. So it was DOT mandated curriculum. Do you know when they finally started putting tourniquets in the curriculum?
I would guess.
Take a guess.
I don't think I want to know.
I would probably think 2009 or 2010.
2012.
Okay.
And we had been using tourniquets since 2002.
Yeah.
Because if you read what Robert's Ridge, they one of the Ranger medics put a tourniquet on the helicopter pilot that got shot through the arm. And incidentally, that dude had one of the longest tourniquet times on record. They did a case study on him. It was like a 16-hour tourniquet time.
Wow.
Yeah, and he still kept his originally issued arm. You know, like a year later, he was back on flying status.
Wow.
Nice. But they've said, but it took 10 years for us to get it in the curriculum.
Yeah.
And now I think they're just now in the last couple of years. I had a guy in my class in Grand Junction last weekend. He's a wilderness first responder. He said, they just started talking about it in the last year or two there because they were still teaching. Oh no, tourniquets are bad. I'm like, bro.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You still get every once in a while, you'll see on social media or forums or Instagram or whatever. Somebody will be like, oh no, you can't tourniquet. Dude, you're 15 years behind the power curve now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's if you don't have the knowledge and you don't have the trauma kit and I hate to say it. I hate to sound negative, but you're the one at fault. You know, because you got to catch up. To me, it's a social responsibility. It's to be, do I want to be a social asset or a social liability? I want to be able to take care of people. And if you don't, you need to know this stuff. Even if it's a basic stop the bleed class, yeah. Man, like a 4-hour, people are like, well, I don't have 16 hours. Cool. Fine. I get it. Life happens. But dude, you can do a four hour stop the bleed class and literally be a force multiplier in this because everything changes.
Yeah, going from zero to stop the bleed is huge.
That's huge. Just like going from zero to CPR AED training. I mean, honestly, I think that's like the trifecta of to get started is CPR AED and stop the bleed because early intervention in any of those cases leads to increased survivability rates. You know, because you think about it, you got 120 seconds of free bleeding from a bigger vessel before you got 1 foot in a grave and one on an anterpeel, man. I mean, you're like deep in the hurt locker, you know, you're deep in the freaking hurt locker.
I'm going to have to go back through and write all these down.
Yeah. Oh, just come to class. You'll hear plenty more of those.
There's at least 50.
Yeah. Lives in Colorado, still has the Mississippi. Oh, yeah.
Deep.
Yeah. Deep. Back.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that comes from my sweet wife, Angela, because she and I grew up,
Oh, that's right. Y'all were college sweet or high school,
like even elementary school.
Yeah,
fell in love with her when I was in third grade. Man, we grew up 2.2 miles. I measured it 2.2 miles down the road from each other, in Mississippi. Nice. Not related. I always say that too. I got to throw that disclaimer in there.
Have you done a DNA test?
Yeah, but it only took me like 30 years to get the guts up to ask her out. But yeah, we got married almost 4 years ago, and she had traveled all over the world, but she never lived outside of Mississippi. So. My accent is definitely a lot stronger living with her.
Oh, yeah.
And even my daughter, Lily Beth, who stays with us a lot of the time, she's like, she said, people at school are telling me I have a Southern accent in some of the words I say. I'm like, well, how much time do you spend here? Because her mom's from Colorado. So that's got a very neutral accent. And Lily was born in Colorado. So it's funny. People are like, what did you just say?
Like, that was actually one of my questions.
Yeah.
For you. What grade is your daughter in?
She's a junior.
So does she carry medical stuff in her backpack?
Since she was 8 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty cool.
That's a great question. She's been through the class 5 times. I think she was in a class
when
y'all went in. Katie, wasn't it? That was at Boyer.
I think it was at Boyer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vizorak put on.
Yeah. And then, the first 3 times she took it, she was voluntold. You know, the last couple of times she took it, she volunteered herself. She's like, I want to do this because I need a refresher and I don't know how to do that. And she's been learning. She knew how to put tourniquets on when she was little. Cause I was like, I would throw a tourniquet at her, tourniquet at her sister and go, okay, left leg, go, you know, or I'd fall down and go, you know, right, left leg, right leg, whatever. And, you know, of course, I get the requisite eye roll, and, you know, but I am bleeding out over here. And it's something I think it should be a graduation requirement to have like a stop the bleed class at a very basic minimum.
It'd be useful.
It'd be fantastic.
I mean, that'd be one of those things that would definitely help you coming out of high school.
Yeah. I mean, Lily.
Give it like 15, 20 years, then you've got this whole generation of, you know, people that at least at some point in their life had some sort of basic trauma.
Yeah,
because I mean, look at our current world situation. I mean, and even like Lilybeth didn't even know how to balance a checkbook. Yeah, I showed her. I've got her check registers. I mean, this is like I think medical training is a life skill.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, just like learning how to check your oil or put air in your tires or whatever, change a tire, change a flat. It's a critical life skill. So, but I don't know. That's just me.
I feel pretty good that my girls have Band-Aids. They've got their little Band-Aid kit, but that's kind of like one of those, you know, like anytime they get injured, they want a Band-Aid, right? So let's make it a little bit better.
Missing and a leg. Please put a Band-Aid on.
With Band-Aids over them.
Always. But we'll have to get them into.
Yeah, we have to like lock the Band-Aids up because Emerson will get in there and just like put them everywhere. We'll have them all up his leg.
He was walking around with probably a week ago at the shop, and he had stickers literally from his waist to his nipple line. Just probably had like 10 or 12 stickers. And I was like a kid.
I remember when we moved, when I moved from the other house up in Boulder, and I was sitting there with a freaking razor knife, you know, scraping freaking stickers off of everything. I was like, dear God, keep the stickers away from him.
Yeah, we had to get him a little notebook that that's a sticker book. So he puts the stickers on the pages in the notebook. And that's where you can put them. Not on the bikes and the walls and the dishwasher and everything else.
But, His brother.
But yeah, with kids with the stickers and everything, it's so easy. It's so relatable to them because that's fun, you know. And I made the medical stuff fun for the girls.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all fun and turn it into a game, but they don't even realize they're freaking learning anything. Yeah. You know, and then all of a sudden, they know how to put a tourniquet on at 8 years old.
Yeah, that's.
But, I mean, what if it's my dumb ass on the roof, you know, and I fall off and impale myself on something and or get sliced up at the house and the kid comes out?
Dude, I mean, I used to ride my bike everywhere. And, like, God forbid I would have gotten hurt or one of my buddies would have gotten hurt. I mean, cell phones had just started to come around. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, we rode miles on our bike. And to have, like, be that age and have skill like that is.
I mean,
awesome.
It's just by the grace of God. I know I made my guardian angels work overtime when I was a kid because I lived out in the country. We grew up on a lot of acreage, and we would be gone for till past sundown.
Oh, yeah.
You know, till you hear your mama screaming for you, you know, is come on in, and out there doing all sorts of stupid shit. And it's a wonder that we didn't need any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I think kids need this. One of my classmates got saved by my father-in-law. I didn't even know this because he was asking what I did whenever Angie and I started dating. And he said, she tells me you're doing some medical stuff. And he's like, yeah, I saved that Lockhart boy's life with an improvised tourniquet with a belt and a tire tool because he had run up on the back of my another classmate of ours, four-wheeler. He wasn't paying attention, ran up on the back, flipped over, and the foot peg caught him right behind the knee. And ripped that big artery of the popliteal artery back behind his knee open. And my father-in-law it was literally divine intervention, came around a corner. It's between my house and their house and saw it right as it happened and saw the big spray of blood. Yeah. And he's like, that's what we learned how to do in Vietnam, you know, during the Vietnam War. He said, I went over there and cranked it on there. But I had a former student of mine. His dad was, I'm not going to give names or locale, whatever, but his dad got injured and this guy's in his early 20s and didn't realize his dad was injured, went outside and his dad's passed out from blood loss in the backyard. Yeah. And had the stuff there, had taken the class and literally saved his dad's life. I mean, so home injuries, you know, or just teaching your kids how to do this. It's just I don't know.
We were out two, three weekends ago. At Deerley's, I was helping one of my buddies out, and he's like, we're loading up chainsaws in the ATV, you know, we're fixing to go out. And I grabbed my Dark Angel medical kit.
Right? Available at darkangelmedical.com.
Right? You know, I got us all kits, you know. And so
he's been very proactive about that.
I threw that in the ATV, and you could just see the lights go on in my buddy's eyes. Like,
oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, he's prior service. He was a Marine, but there wasn't any sort of medical, and we were fixing to go out, you know, 400 or 500 yards from the house
with chainsaws.
Yeah, like you bleed out before you ever got up there.
100%, and that's just people don't think about it. It's almost like medical's an afterthought.
Yeah,
unfortunately, because how
you don't think about it until you need it.
We're a very reactive society to begin with. we're not very proactive. And it's like, shit, you know, I could probably use a med kit right about now. By that time, it's too late. It's like being in a defensive encounter and going, man, I should have brought my pistol with me. You're never gonna miss it unless you need it and you don't have it. Thank you.
We were talking about the stuff that Chris seen on North American Rescue. I'm sure you saw it. That dude, it was in where was it, Mexico? They got stabbed in the neck.
Oh, dude. How quick was he gone?
Dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah. Was that the one that was a street fight? Was that the one in Brazil that was the robber?
No, it was a street fight.
Okay. There was a robber. Did you see the robber? They got shot in the neck.
Oh, yeah.
He bled out in the turnstile door. Yeah.
Blood everywhere.
Everywhere. It was like a bath. And then the dude that got stabbed in the neck, little 3-inch blade, man.
People don't realize that, though.
No.
Like, you could take a box cutter and do the same thing.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
He was literally a dead man walking.
Yeah.
When I watched that video, it's disturbing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could have been on an operating table and not survive that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
You'd have had to have a surgeon working super fast.
Yeah.
It's terrifying when I show videos and stuff like that. People in class are like, well, that was kind of graphic. I'm like, yeah, life's graphic, bro.
Yeah.
Just
welcome to Earth.
Newsflash. Yeah. You know, we don't all live in a freaking bubble. And it's, if you, I'd rather you see it in my class.
Oh, yeah.
I know I might vapor lock a little bit, but you won't completely freeze, won't completely lock up whenever, if you do see it in real life.
Yeah. It's just like William April's class, you know. Yeah. The stuff that he would show in class or talk about, you need a compartment for that.
Yeah, you need a spot in your Rolodex.
Yeah, you need to already know, hey, this can happen.
100%.
Because how many times on YouTube you see something happen and you're just like, why is that lady just standing there watching this baby get stomped?
Yeah.
Well, you know? That's just not something that you can process. You know, like, it doesn't process that that's actually happening. It's like, it's so absurd and so like outside of anything you might expect that don't even realize that it's happening.
We took that parent and guardian class and he kind of talked about some of that stuff and that was.
Yeah. Oh yeah. With John Johnson. Yeah.
He brought that up and it's like one of those things where, oh, that's happening in front of me and it just doesn't.
Yeah. It doesn't because you hadn't ever thought about it. And two, when it does happen like that, it's surreal.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no way this could be happening.
There's no way. Your eyes see it, but your brain is refusing to let you believe that it's happening or accept that this is reality. You know, like, this is not real. And it's one of those things I tell people, and they're like, well, how do you take care of somebody? I'm like, I've been doing it for 30 years, 30, almost 31 now. And I'm like, and I don't say this to sound crude or callous or jaded or anything, because I'm not. I'm very sympathetic to people, empathetic to people who've been injured. But I'm like, I have to treat the injury. I'm not treating the person. I'm treating the injury that's going to kill the person. So I kind of have to. I tell them, I said, you have to almost disassociate yourself from it in that instance. You're still going to get traumatized by it. No matter what, you're still going to get traumatized by it and go talk to somebody. That's another big piece of advice I tell people. If you've never dealt with an injury like that, go talk to somebody because it's going to screw you up. But you got to disassociate yourself from it to be able to focus better on that. And that way you're not vapor locking, you know, you're not freaking out. So,
I mean, I've seen it in the fire service. Like you get there and somebody's just standing there in the ER or whatever, and you're just.
Yeah.
Like.
You know, hello.
Yeah, like, come on, like, we're here to help, please. Yeah.
Ground
come
control back. To Major Tom. Yeah. Dating myself with that one. But it's like, I remember one of the car accidents I pulled up on when I was a paramedic, I got out of the ambulance and slipped in brains, you know, and I'm sitting there going, well, can't do anything about that one, you know, and the other dude is just standing there, you know, looking at what was the person he was riding with, you know, what they were there and now they're not. You know, he was just kind of vapor locked and he's sitting there just bleeding from this big scalp laceration. I mean, his scalp was completely avulsed. You could see his skull and he's standing there not even paying attention to this. He's looking
at the brains you just slipped on.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he's just vapor locked. Cause I slipped in his friend's brains, you know? And I'm like, well, I got to take care of him cause I can't do anything about them. So, and that's another thing I think these classes teach people is, you can do a certain amount. There's a certain amount you can't do. And I think if you get that, that gives people closure, so to speak, you know, because they're like, well, I did everything I can for them. Because what's one of the big things we always do? How many of y'all second guess yourselves?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, big critic, big, we're all self-critiquing, you know, especially if you're a type A, you know, type person like that, you self-critique. And I think people, they're like, well, I couldn't do anything for them. And I think that's better than not knowing, well, what could I have done? Could I have done anything for them? And if you take a class, you're like, oh, yeah, I couldn't have done anything. It sucks, but I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything for them anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
All right. Good times.
Yeah. Good time. I when we were sitting here thinking about that, you know, I had a instance. I told you about the lady at HEB.
Yeah.
You know, I do the grocery shopping. I do the cooking. You know, I was at HEB one day, and I typically go on Sunday afternoon, so it's the church crowd, and I'd went later on in the evening for some reason. And I'm sitting there bagging up my broccoli, and I turn, and I just see this old lady just go, boom, hit the ground. She cut her head on the way down, and she's sitting there, and an elderly gentleman, he might not have even been able to get down.
Right.
And help his wife.
Right, physically limited.
But she's laying there holding her head, and it's spurting, and he's not. He's just kind of standing there, and one other person helped me. She grabbed some paper towels, and I grabbed a plastic bag. Now, I didn't have my kit on me. My stuff's usually in the right. truck.
Right.
You know? But paper towels, plastic bag, and just
but you acted,
held it there.
You yeah. acted because you didn't have the kit, but you had the knowledge.
Right.
And that's what I tell people, even if you don't have the kit, the best kit is the one you got on you. Mm-hmm. You know, the best kit is the one you got on you. But even if you don't have that kit or something happens, you've exhausted all the supplies. If you have a class, then you know the rationale right. behind how to use that stuff and what to do. You know, same.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't exactly tourniquet a neck, but, you know. I mean,
you can't. You can.
But I mean, it definitely would have stopped
the bleeding. It'll definitely stop the bleeding.
But the pressure, it worked. Hey, I just sit there. And then I was like, man, you know what? 6 minutes of sitting here holding that pressure on this lady's head before the fire department showed up, I was wore out. Already yeah. just sitting there, kneeling, holding this lady's head.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And people don't understand that. I mean, it's like I had a similar incident happened to me years ago in Atlanta. I was coming back home from a class. I was flying back home. It was like a Sunday evening. I still have my uniform, whatever, on. And this guy passes. I was in a serpentine for security. And this guy just, boom, passes out, locks up, passes out. And instead, we're in a serpentine. Instead of somebody catching him, everybody's like, oh, shit, got out of the way. Yeah. And the dude's head, like, sounded like a freaking cantaloupe hitting the floor. And it's, like, triple tapped. And all of a sudden, I see this pool of blood. And I was like, oh, crap. And so I dropped my stuff and had a little mini kit, archangelmedical.com, in my pocket. And ran up to the dude, started putting my gloves on, and I was there with a dude for 25 minutes before EMS showed up. And Hartsfield's got like five EMS stations on the perimeter road. It's like a 20-mile perimeter, but every one of them were actively involved in other calls. So I was reassessing, and that's what I tell people. I'm like, look, man, you are – that brings me to a good point. You're your first responder. You're 911. I've got a T-shirt that says expect a self-rescue. And I mean,
oh yeah,
it's true. Dude,
that's 100% true. I mean, if there was a shooting happening and right in front of you, and you got your concealed carry piece, how far away are cops? If a traumatic accident happens in front of you, and you have your med kit, how far away is the ambulance?
Oh yeah,
look at average response times. Or if 911 is overwhelmed, or in case of social unrest, what if it doesn't even exist? You know, I live out in the county. I live like out in El Paso County in Colorado, and county roads aren't that great in the wintertime. So response times can be extremely delayed. What about the flooding down here?
I live in a brand new neighborhood, and I don't even have cell phone service.
Right. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrifying. I mean,
very.
And what happened with all the flooding down here years ago?
Yeah. Or ice.
Or ice. When the Icemageddon happened.
We were done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
nothing was happening.
And that's just it. I mean, you
for
think
days.
About it. But I guarantee you, accidents were still happening.
Oh, yeah.
So what are people going to do? You better know.
Dude, hella people died when the snow mm-hmm. happened because they were running their cars in their garages or their generators in their garages.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just like Katrina, when Katrina happened, because my brother still live on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, and people were getting looted, so they were putting their generators in their garages.
Yeah.
you know, so people would steal the generators, but hey, surprise, carbon monoxide, you know, you're welcome. And it's one of these things that I'm like, if EMS is not around, you better be your own EMS. You better be your own first responder. So that's the reason I think this training is so timely and so relevant. Just look at what's going on around us nowadays.
Oh yeah. Help could be inside the hallway and standing there for 55 minutes.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Yeah. Imagine that. And that's, you know, that's the reason I think schools, teachers, I just went and taught a private school down in Colorado Springs, taught their guardian staff, like a one-day basic trauma class. And I said, they said, this is fantastic. I said, no, it's fantastic. What's fantastic is y'all being proactive and doing this.
That's very true.
That's what's fantastic. You know, I had the service out there. It's just people need to come take it. And I'm like, because you're going to be a force multiplier for these 500 students, these 600 students you have in your class.
Will you teach big groups like that? Like if a school wanted to hire you as a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, because I have a pared down one-day curriculum. I call it basic trauma management that I can teach these folks. Because, you know, a two-day class is hard for administrators to get their teachers to, their educators to. So school resource officers, teachers, whomever come to class. I even had some of the school nurses, and they're like, yeah, I never had this crap in nursing school. I'm like, no, of course you don't. You know, nobody teaches you to put tourniquets on. I can give a bed bath like a champ. You know,
can't wipe an ass like a pro.
Hey, man, I'm a bedpan commando, but I never was taught to put a tourniquet on in nursing school. And that's what I tell people. I'm like, look, just because they're, a nurse or somebody comes up on the scene, I'm a doctor. Well, what kind of doctor?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a urologist. Well, you can do a hell of a prostate check, you know, but do you know anything about a tourniquet? And 9 times out of 10, they're like, I have no clue. I've had cardiothoracic surgeons come in my class, ER docs come in my class, and they're like, hey, I learned stuff from this. Because they didn't know, because they weren't trained on that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think it's relevant, man. That's what I like about it. Sorry, I'm droning, but yeah.
No,
that's exactly what we're here to talk about and show our listeners or our viewers, whatever you want to call it, how important this type of training is compared to it's not the sexy cool guy stuff where we're
burning it down.
Yeah, exactly.
$2,000 pistols and optics. BigTechsOrdnance.com.
Yeah. But nice shameless plug. But you're exactly 100% correct, man, because it's not cool. It's not sexy. But, you know, bleeding out ain't cool. Bleeding out ain't sexy either. And that's what I tell people. I even have a sticker, you know, bleeding out ain't sexy.
We can make that happen. We have a sticker guy.
I've got some old ones. I'll send you the file if you want me to. Or we could even make a new sticker. You know,
we can make that happen.
Bleed not ain't sexy.
About it.
Yeah, bleed not ain't sexy. And that's what I tell people all the time. And they're like, oh man, your kit's expensive. I'm like, yeah, you know what's even more expensive? A funeral.
Fact.
You know? And people are like, damn, man, that's kind of harsh. I'm like, no, it's a harsh reality. And I was teaching a class up at SIG Academy because I'm a part-time instructor there for like the last 11 years. And this guy was on the long range course and he's like, what kind of kid is that? It's a Stark Angel Medical kid. He said, he said, where'd you get it? I said, my company. He said, SIG? I said, no, I own the company. He's like, oh, and he's like, how much is that? I said, after a coupon code, it's like 170, 175, 180 bucks. And he's like, man, that's expensive. And I looked down at him. He was proned out on a deck.
Shooting magic grade ammo.
With a freaking Schmidt and Bender.
Yeah.
A custom 338 Lapua Magnum. And I looked at him. I was like, and I said it without even my filter just left. I was like, you got to be shitting me. And he's like, well, what? I said, dude, you got $5,000 worth of glass, $4,000 worth of rifle. And each round, instead of the bolt,
$3.
Instead of the bolt ringing, it's like cha-ching, cha-ching every time you shoot. I was like, I said, you're shooting paper and steel at 800 to 1,000 yards. I said, you're way more liable to use this than that, you know. And I was like, oh, and he had a can on it. He had a Silent Chaco big bore harvester on it, too. So there's the can, too. And I was like... But it's priorities, man. And it's like, I love to go shoot. I love to go to a shooting class. I love to get out there and burn it down, you know, and it's important, you know, it's a good skill to have. It's another, be your own 911 type person thing. But I think, like you said, you hit the nail on the head, man, is that medical is very underemphasized because it's not cool. It's not sexy. But it takes 2 days out of your life. This class takes 2 days out of your life. And you'll be so empowered and so confident. I think that's one of the big things I like. I ask people, hey, do you feel more confident after the class? Did you feel more confident?
Oh, 100%.
You know? And it's just, people come in like this and there's some trepidation there. Big word for a redneck, right? But there's some trepidation there. And then after the class, their confidence levels through the freaking roof. And they're like, man, I should have had this years ago. And I'm like, yeah. You probably should have, man. And it's if I can get people, if I can change their mindset, and that's what I try to do. I try to get people to have a perceptual change. So if they come to the class and I'm like, if I don't make you more paranoid by the time you got here, then if you don't leave more paranoid there when you got here, then I hadn't done my job, because it makes people literally have a perceptual change. Like if you go to like a shooting class or whatever, you go to a mindset class, how many of y'all sit with your backs to the wall when you go into a restaurant? Or, you know, so you can see the door.
Yeah.
Or to see a secondary exit, you know. That's just being proactive. Being prepared. So, yeah. I don't know. I ain't nothing. My daughter calls me the tactical Oompa Loompa, but it's, you know, and I'm okay with that. But it's just a matter of being prepared and confident and having the mindset, you know, and having the kit is great. Having the training is great, but you got to have the mindset in order to be that difference. You got to be able to use it. It's just like there's so many parallels between firearms and medicine. You know, as if you don't have if you're carrying a gun and you don't have the right mindset to use it, and you've had some training, you're still a liability. You know, and if you use one of our kits too, I'm gonna throw a little shameless plug out there. If you use one of our kits, we got a thing called a kit for life guarantee. And we will replace whatever it is you use if you save somebody's life. Just send us some documentation and send
what
us
if you the, don't save their life, but you
we'll give
use
it,
the
we'll
kit.
Give it to you at a steeply discounted price.
DarkAngelMedical.com.
Yeah, exactly. But it's, I mean, and I'm very happy to say, hey, man, I've replaced over 155 kits or components thereof. And that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, that's pretty freaking cool.
You know, so you buy once, you cry once, but you get, we stand behind it, you know, and that's the big thing. And you get a gold coin. It's not like a real gold coin. It's like a gold tone.
And gold colored.
It's gold colored. Baby.
Yeah.
And you do have, we'll talk products for a second here so people know that are listening. You've got the standard Dark Angel Medical Kit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You make a vehicle one?
Yeah, specific? We make a couple of vehicles. We make a headrest mounted kit. We make a visor mounted kit. Make ankle kit. We make one called an EDC. That's belt mounted or molly mounted. We make the mini, which slips into a pocket, and you can throw a tourniquet in there too, like a soft tee or something, because it's real flat. That's what my wife carries in her purse is the mini with a soft tee rubber banded to it. My daughter too, Lily Beth too. We make a hard case. It's from Royal Case Company out of Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we like those red ones.
The red ones, yeah.
Yeah, we have two or three up here. We've got two at the range. We got one at our house in the vehicles. We freaking love those.
Yeah, we have the one that we take to class all the time.
Yeah, because I mean, it's red. It's highly visible. You know, it's rugged. It's waterproof. Oh, yeah. Floats, all that kind of stuff. We got a big, the St. Mike bag, big mass casualty bag.
We had it. We even had it at the SWAT conference sitting on the table.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everywhere we go, we take it.
That's awesome.
Every event, every training event that we go to and stuff, we got that.
Throw it on the table. There it is.
Yeah. And that's the thing. People are like, he got a lot of kits. I'm like, well, there's a lot of different things people do. You know, it's like I say, you know, whatever your mission is, we got a kit to fit it.
And the ouch pouch. We like the ouch pouch too.
The ouch pouch. Yeah. Oh, and those are finally coming back into stock soon. Thankfully.
We keep those in all the vehicles and we use them. Like, I mean, you need a Band-Aid or like a little, you know, whatever, you know, you've always, we use those quite a bit.
I use my ouch pouch. That's our boo-boo kit.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know.
Oh, audience, yeah. Sorry.
You know? Yeah. That's our ouch. That's our little boo-boo kit. But I use that more than anything. And honestly, you're going to use that more
hopefully.
Than anything. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope
if you're using a like a tourniquet a week. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You got to change jobs. Yeah, yeah.
You got to reevaluate some things.
Yeah. I use a tourniquet once a week, whether I need it or not. but it's we got a lot of different kits. And then our new spear kit, our new little low profile kit. Did I show y'all that at symposium last year? That was one of the prototypes.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
That little low profile one.
Yeah.
I'd worked on that thing for like 5 years, prototype after prototype. I'd wear it for a few months and then say, okay, we need to do this. But yeah, we got a lot of different kits and I'm proud of that. Very proud of that.
Is a paper cut still considered a paper cut if you're like missing an arm? Like if you, like I asked the guys at the warehouse the other day, if you were to get like such a severe paper cut and your arm was hanging off, is that still considered a paper cut?
Still considered a paper cut. Yeah. Has anybody ever had a cardboard cut? Those are horrible, man.
That's the thing that happens in the warehouse the most.
Okay, paper cut's like a scalpel. A cardboard cut's like a machete or something. Yeah, it's like blunt force trauma.
Have you seen issues, whether it be due to COVID-19 supplies or recent events? How has that impacted your supply chain?
Our supply chain has been greatly impacted by the conflict over there in Ukraine right now. Mm-hmm. COVID actually, we didn't really see a drop in supply chain. We saw it initially, but then everything kind of picked back up as restrictions were lifted and all this kind of stuff. But what hurt us was the training, because nobody wanted to do in person learning. So we lost. Over 80% of our classes that year, which sucked. But since this stuff in Ukraine's kicked off, it's been, man, we've been going through hell and half of Georgia to get freaking tourniquets, and we're direct with these guys. Like we were talking before the podcast, we're direct with these guys, chest seals, hemostatics, pressure bandages, you know, and then we're, you know, trying to steal from Peter to pay Paul to go from somewhere, go to RSR or whatever. And then you grab one and you're like, well, I'm paying $8 more for it. That's going to screw my profit up, but at least the customer gets what they need.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, exactly what I'm saying, man. You're talking about that stuff the other day, or today. And I asked one of my sales reps, I was like, dude, do they realize that people in the U.S. are still getting hurt? You know, I mean, there's going to be like a 10 tourniquet to one person ratio over there. And I can't hardly find anything to get it.
Oh, yeah. It's been crazy lately. I've had more people message customer service or Facebook and they're like, hey, when are you getting, you know, cats back in? I'm like, what is there? Are we out? Is there a demand? And then I go look and everywhere's out. I'm like, oh crap, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then that's what, you know, that you told me today, last time we were able to get a chance, you know, usually it was, hey, I'll buy four. I'm buying 50.
Yeah.
You know, that, because I don't know when the next time that they're going to come available.
Yeah.
And if our customers are wanting that, then I need to have it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been a big problem for us is I want, you know, people are like, I want my kit. And I'm like, dude, I know.
I want to sell you one.
I want to sell you one. I want my products, you know, because they've been on back order for 8 weeks now, some of the stuff. And that's been a big thing for us is we try to fulfill product orders in a timely manner with only the two whole people we have in the shop. But it's, you know, we're a small business with a big heart, I like to say, but it still has been a problem for us to get stuff as medical components. I never would have thought that. It didn't really compute, you know, because we still had a good supply chain even during GWAT and everything. I still had a good supply chain, and now this kicked off. It's like all these nonprofits are sending massive, you know, pallet loads.
Do you have any kits over there that you know of?
I know actually, yeah, there's a couple of my buddies who are former military over there fighting right now that have our kits on.
Nice.
So yeah, which is kind of rad. scary, but kind of rad at the same time. But yeah, nice. It's been a problem, but I think they've ramped up production. Like my buddy at North American said, they were selling like 80,000 tourniquets a week.
Holy shit. That's insane.
And they were still backlogged.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing is too, is a lot of people knock that shit off. Like, how many fake tourniquet companies?
Did you see the NAR put a post out? Did y'all see that one?
No.
It was a huge box of tourniquets showed up to Ukraine, and it was cats. And they were like just ripping them. They were just breaking the windlasses. And
yeah. So you got to be careful where you buy them from, because
yeah,
God forbid.
I get mine. I know if I get mine, I get them from direct from the manufacturer or someone who is direct with North American. Like say if Boundtree Medical had, you know, 150 tourniquets, and I'm like, give me those. I know they get them directly from CAT, North American Rescue, who gets them from Composite Resources.
You're not buying off of eBay or
Alibaba. Amazon. Dude, don't go to wish.com because you're going to wish you had a tourniquet really works.
Amazon. You can't guarantee that it's coming from who it's coming from.
Dude, you hit the nail on the head because they third-party source everything.
Yeah.
And you don't know who it's going to come from. And I've had
see that with Surefire and Trigicon. Like, people will buy a Surefire Trigicon or whatever off of Amazon, and then they end up getting a fake.
Yep.
You know, because there's you know, 100 different places that could have came from.
They source it from whomever, and and that's when people come to class. They're like, oh, shit. I bought like a bunch of fake tourniquets because they thought they were getting a real deal.
And
and I show them the difference between the real ones and the fake ones, you know. And
if you're paying $7 for a CAT, it's probably too good to be true.
And that's it, man. Don't third party source your stuff out. If you come to darkangelmedical.com, you'll get stuff. I mean, you're going to get it from us because we get it direct from the manufacturer. We're not sourcing anything else from anybody else. So. Got to be true to yourself. That's why I tell people, you know, why don't you carry some of those gun show lead round nose reloads, you know, for your defensive carry ammo, you know,
sandwich bag,
Ziploc baggie,
spicy. You never know what you're going to get.
Either lots, like a box.
It's either
of chocolates.
It's either going to be a squid or an absolute like fucking cannon round.
It's going to be a triple charge or nothing. So it's affected us, but thankfully I think we're kind of starting to see things level off as a increased production. So hopefully it'll.
Then now you've got also all those militaries over there that are ramping up their supply with everything.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking to somebody the other day that was, you know, a certain company. I don't know if I can say the name of the company, but it's supplying got a contract with the German army to supply them with night vision. Like, poof.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All those countries over there are now like, okay, we're ramping up our stuff because this is actually, you know, Cold War's went hot 30 years after the Cold War was over.
And we're a lot closer to Russia than.
And the domestic supply of night vision is going to be going like a fart in the wind.
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't have night vision right now, you better get it from BigTexOrdinates.com.
You got any other questions for him, Mike?
Tampons.
Belong in vaginas.
And there's the promo.
Yeah.
There's the promo clip.
We could turn that into a sticker, too.
We can.
No, but like if you go on the internet, everyone's like, oh, I'm not going to carry medical because I just carry tampons or, you know, 1/10 the price or whatever.
I got a belt and some tampons.
Yeah.
Some tampons. If you see Where the Millers, it's a tampon.
Great movie.
It's a great movie, man.
Jennifer Aniston.
Tampons. Let me dispel that myth real quick. Like, if you're carrying tampons as a primary means for hemorrhage control from a traumatic injury, you're wrong. 1967 called. They want their technology back because people are like, oh, well, my granddaddy's brother's uncle's cousin, you know, carried him in Vietnam and, you know, said they worked. And some dude, you know, and GWAT said it worked. And I'm like, look, dude, I got a broke watch. That's right. Twice a day. You know, anecdotal stuff is anecdotal stuff. It's not clinical data. It's not scientific data. A blind squirrel gets a nut every now and then, right? But if you're looking at a three-dimensional large volume bleed, a three-dimensional wound with a large cavitation, large volume bleed, a tampon is designed to do two things. Soak up blood and keep it from coming to the surface, right? So it, because that's what it's designed for. It's designed to soak up blood. If you're trying to stop a bleed, you got to have two things. You got to have compression. Tampon does not offer compression. The compression slows the blood. So if you've got a hemostatic agent in that gauze, the hemostatic agent works along with the body's, could work with or outside of the body's own natural clotting capabilities to create a clot. That compression slows the blood down, which leads to the building of a clot, coagulation. So you got to have something that creates compression and coagulation. A tampon doesn't do that. So.
And in your class, like you have that little, that wound block or whatever.
It is.
You know, the wound may only be, for those that can't see, is only a couple inches deep, but the amount of gauze that you can shove in there is unreal.
It's like, it's insane.
Like, if you had to use, like, how many tampons would that take to...
All of them.
What if you had tampons with yards quick clot on them?
Okay, so that's a good question. So you could help with some coagulation, but it would probably get washed out, flushed out, just like the old granular hemostat, the old granular quick clot.
Yeah.
It had the properties there, but it would get washed out of the wound because you didn't have the compression there to slow the bleed down to let the clotting begin.
Take
place. And that's what I tell people. You got to have you got to have compression, which leads to coagulation, and a tampon doesn't do either of those. It just soaks up blood. That's what it's, I mean, they're great for nosebleeds. I mean, we would soak them in like neosynephrine and ER, you know, or medical grade cocaine, because, you know, Rick James said cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Rick James, bitch.
And so it would, because it's a very powerful vasoconstrictor. So right up in there in the nose, and it soaked up that blood. So, yeah, I mean, if you're using a quick clot gauze or a Kydo gauze or something like that, you're starting the clotting process in literally less than a minute. Literally less than a minute. It's not going to happen with a tampon.
Not happening.
With a tampon or a belt. You know, people are like, oh, I got a belt. I'm like, how long is it going to take you to fashion an improvised tourniquet of that belt when you could just carry a freaking cat or a soft T wide?
Exactly.
And be done with it.
Has a windlass right there.
I mean, and go to Filster, you know, go to, y'all know John. The Filster flat pack. Dude, that's one of the best things for the freaking soft tee because it folds down nice and flat. Mm-hmm. A shameless plug for you, John. Love you, brother.
Hey, the only person that sells more Filster is Filster.
Yeah.
In Big Tex.
Hey, there you go. See? Yeah. And that I show people the flat pack in class all the freaking time.
It's a great product.
Yeah, it's a great product. And I was like, I carry one and it's like right there. It's right there, and you don't have to worry about, oh, what do I do with my belt, you know? And
but a lot of big misconceptions, people just think like a belt's tight enough, they can just cinch it down. You've got to have a windlass.
100% mechanical advantage, man. And that was like Dr. John Craig did a study on improvised tourniquets. Pretty much like 100%, it's like 99.8. I say, well, we just say 100% of the tourniquets, of the improvised tourniquets without mechanical advantage, failed to achieve arterial occlusion. Whereas like 68% of the improvised tourniquets with improvised or with a windlass, improvised tourniquet with a windlass or mechanical advantage succeeded. So, yeah, well, that's a 32% success rate. I said, well, I'll take 30, you know,
over point
over, yeah. over big fat nothing, big fat goose egg any day. So it just shows how important it is to have mechanical advantage. But the thing is, how timely are you with that? How quickly can you get that thing applied? Whereas with a cat or soft tee. Right there. You got it. Done. It's money because that's what it's designed to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like literally built to do that.
That's what it's commercially designed to do. Your belt is designed to keep your britches over your ass, you know, above your ass.
Learn something new every day.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I got one more here before we wrap it up. And this is one thing that I've saw on social media recently is people talking about needle chest decompression.
Mm.
Like that's been like all of a sudden a hot topic.
Yep.
And I'm going to bring up what my thoughts were on it back, you know, when my last deployment, 2009, like that was like one of those things, dude, like I'll have a bird here before anything. Like, don't even worry about doing something like that. So what are your thoughts?
I mean, you know, TCCC is like, basically it's like if there's a defect in the chest or there, then it's going to get sealed and darted, you know, or if they present with a tension pneumo, even if it's a closed pneumo, that's just going to tension, dart it, you know, but that's only for people who are trained to do it. That's not a layperson skill. Right. That's not an 11 Bravo skill, you know, or a 0311. That's not something a grunt's going to do. Unless they've been trained and because they did the studies on this and they were showing, this was from paramedics, you know, who were in the field and have been in the field. And like, it was some astounding number, like 80 something percent of them, they were going like, it was all over the place. So they got shot in the chest with freaking bird shot, you know, on the diagram. They were like, okay, this is where they would put it. Cause they completely missed the landmarks. And if you don't know, the landmark, you know, up in here, and there's one down here, then you're going to hurt somebody. And that's what I tell people. Look, that's the reason we put the needle in the military spec kit, because that's part of TCCC standards. It's not anything else. And there's a reason for that now.
Yeah, it's not like there's a military grade and then a civilian grade. It's just the...
No, it's just whatever kind of hemostatic gauze is in the kit. Yeah, that's a good question, too. You know, what level of the kit, when you see our kits, is what, if you got the bleeding control dressing, which is quick clot hemostatic gauze, or you got the LE kit, LE quick clot, and the mil spec kit has the mil, which is just the same as the LE. It's just in a green package with a national stock number. But the mil kit has a TCCC card, casualty card, and a decompression needle just to fit military standards. But that's just it, man. If you don't know what you're doing, you could hurt somebody. You could kill somebody. Yeah. Oh, they didn't have a tension pneumothorax, but they do now, thanks to you. Or, hey, you nicked that subclavian artery. Now they're bleeding to death. Or you go even in and you hit an intermammary artery. Or you go in even further. Oh, you nicked their aorta. Sorry. Yeah. And if you know, just because you stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night, you know, that is not defensible, you know, in a court of law. Or I've seen it on the YouTubes. If you're, and people are like, well, I took a TCCC class. Good for you. I'm glad. That's awesome that you took a TCCC class. Well, I'm certified. No, you got a certification. You got a certificate showing you've been trained in that, but you're not licensed to do that. That's the big thing. That's the reason.
Don't go stabbing people with needles.
Yeah. Don't go stabbing people with needles, man. Like you said, by the time the burr gets there, it can take, depending on the level of collapse, it can take a long time.
A long time
for tension to build up. And even then, if there's bleeding in there, they're probably going to die from massive hemorrhage inside the box well before the air would build up. And even if they've got a hemopneumothorax, which is blood and air in the chest from trauma, the 14-gauge needle's not going to let all that blood out. That's why they need a chest tube to suck all that crap out, you know, a big old farkin' chest tube like that. I mean, a little decompression needle's like, you know, tossing the fat kid a Pez. It ain't happening, you know.
We want more Pez.
Yeah, we want, yeah. We want all the Pez. It is. Stay in your, and it's like we hear it in a shooting community all the time, stay in your lane, right? Stay in your lane. So if you're not licensed to do it, stay in your lane. Don't accept that risk. Don't accept that liability. And don't put don't put the person that you're taking care of at risk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, first, do no harm. Primum non nocere. You know, that's the Latin for the medical field. First, mm-hmm. Do no harm. Don't cause any further injury. Don't cause any further harm.
I got one more, Chris.
Go for it.
Most of, you know, our audience is gun carrying mm-hmm. people. What do you recommend them to carry, like, every day? You know, these guys are carrying a gun, a flashlight, pocket knife, a wallet,
a sextant, a flint and steel, a Viz 17 panel. I mean, that's when I see it. It's like, this is my EDC. And I'm like, bro, you got like two knives, four mags, two flashlights. You know, if you fall into a creek, you're going to freaking drown. I'm like, where's your medical? Don't have room. That's one of my big things. I carry a lot of crap in my pockets too, but one thing I do have is medical. Like, I got my boots on right now, so I've got my stuff in my man purse over here. But, like, I can throw chest seal and tourniquet and pressure bandage in one, you know, I can throw a tourniquet in one boot and a chest seal, pressure bandage, and quick clot in the other boot. So if you're wearing cowboy boots, you can still carry a med kit.
Got your shit kickers on.
Yeah, that's right, man. Come on.
I need a new pair.
If you're wearing the tactical dad shorts, you know, like Chris has got here.
Oh, yeah. Every day. That's the uniform.
You can throw a med kit now. I mean, hell, throw a tourniquet on one side, you know, throw an EDC kit on the other side. Ike's wearing jeans. You can throw an ankle kit on.
I need to get an ankle kit.
Yeah, I mean, they're super comfortable. The way I designed it, it was like an open top mag pouch. Oh. So you just pull the little tab and pull your crap out. And it's a stretchy nylon webbing instead of just plain nylon, because that doesn't fit well. Find what you can carry depending on what you're wearing, because it's not a one size fits all situation. You know, you may have to pair and tailor to what it is. I mean, if I was wearing like a suit, I would wear a different kit, you know.
It's like you wear a different gun.
Right, exactly. You know, or carry a different pocket knife, whatever. Yeah. If you're wearing skinny jeans, I can guarantee you ankle kits ain't the way, you know, or any kind of tapered pants or anything like that. But just find out what works best for you and then pair and tailor it. But at a bare minimum, we'll finish up. Hang on, we've gone over a little bit.
Oh, you're good.
I want to talk about Pocket Docs top five. If you're carrying stuff, top five for trauma stuff, gloves, like multiple pairs of nitrile gloves.
Not black ones.
Not if you, yeah, if that's all you can get, you know, dance with who brung you. But if you can carry a lighter color glove, do that and get a medical grade glove, exam grade glove versus the Home Depot gloves, because those meet different quality control standards. Because those Home Depot gloves, while they're nitrile, they allow, if they're a contractor grade glove, they can have holes and stuff like that. They can be porous. So be careful with that, because we're trying to protect yourself from cooties. Okay, so gloves. At least one or two tourniquets, you know, because the old two is one is none thing. And it may take more than one tourniquet to stop a bleed. That happens. So gloves, tourniquets, pressure bandages, hemostatic gauze, and chest seals. So that'll give you a nice little well-rounded trauma kit. At least that's the top five basic things. If you can throw a space blanket in there, you know, anything else like our full-size darks got in it, then do it. But otherwise, that's the basic stuff. That's what we have in our EDC kit and in our ankle kit. Now, like in our mini kit, we've got a smaller roll of gauze, of hemostatic gauze, and that's for minor to moderate bleeds, and we label it as such because a lot of these companies out there that capitalize on consumer ignorance, and that's not a diminishing term at all, because people don't know any better until you teach them. Mm-hmm. They'll say, oh, it's got hemostatic gauze in there. I'm like, yeah, it's got 2 feet. Or it's got 4 feet. Whereas we pack, 12 feet into that one thing. And that's for your severe life-threatening bleeds. So we even have it on the mini kit. Hey, this is for minor to moderate bleeds. This is minor trauma, not life-threatening trauma. So we try to be upfront and educate folks, man.
And for those listeners who didn't catch it already, where can we find your stuff at?
You can go to darkangelmedical.com, check out our products, check out our training calendar. I'm hoping to be back down here next year.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and then, you know, if you want a class in your area and we're not in your area, we are host dependent. So reach out to us at info@darkangelmedical.com and say, hey, I want to host a class for 2023, because we're starting on 2023 calendar. Excellent. Right now. So, excellent. Yeah, man.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank y'all for having
so much
me on.
For coming down.
Enjoyed it. Yeah. I was stoked to get down here, man, because I was like, I get to see the boys.
Yeah. So,
I think we're all pretty excited for class.
Yeah, pretty much the whole crew is taking the class this weekend. So
it's going to be good, man. Yeah.
Going to get their learn on.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Jake asked me, he texted me, he said, hey man, he said, is coffee and water energy drinks? Well, I said, that's fine with me. I said, but I require the finest glacier water known to man. And the coffee beans after being roasted must not be ground. They must be crushed between the thighs of a Colombian virgin. And he said, that's hilarious. I said, dude, Folgers and freaking Dasani, you're good with me, bro. I am not high maintenance at all.
Fantastic. Well, y'all have fun tomorrow. I was being able to join you
next time. Thanks, man. Appreciate
and,
y'all.
And those listeners out there are watching, make sure you listen to us, subscribe, follow, ring the bell, do all that good stuff
so you get notifications from us. Hit the bell. I don't know where I'm supposed to point.
Wherever the bell is.
We appreciate you listening. Thank you.